before the throne, there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were four beasts, full of eyes, before and behind. The sea of glass is the one divine consciousness. It's like the still waters in the 23rd Psalm. When we are in the sea of glass, in the one infinite consciousness, there is no second selfhood. There is only the one. And this will is in the sea of glass, in the throne. The throne is in the consciousness, which is one, the all-embracing infinite consciousness of the Father. And these in the fourth, fifth, and sixth heavens have learned to become as one in that one all-embracing consciousness. They live in it. They abide in it. They have their being in God. All personal will has been removed. All sense of personal individuality. All individuality is now spiritual, infinite, without boundaries, without limitation. Not confined within the concepts of the human mind. They have been released unto the fullness of the one divine consciousness, the sea of glass. Do you notice that everything spoken of so far by John is about the eye of your being? Do you think these are elders walking out there somewhere, or hosts of angels out there somewhere? He is showing you the divine order in the eye of your being. He is showing you that there is a sequence in the many mansions. You cannot hasten it by human will. You cannot change it by human effort. The divine sequence of the infinite is already established. All this is a revelation to him of the many mansions within each of us. Everything he is describing is taking place in the infinite eye that you are. Of which the human consciousness is unaware. It is all a great education to the human consciousness to be still and let the Father build the house. Such a vastness of reality stands behind the facade of this world that the moment the human consciousness is told about it, and discipline to be still and to become a beholder, then the 24 elders are fed by the sea of glass. Each heaven is brought into sequence within your own being, and the outer activity here in form becomes an infinite event made visible. Grace made flesh. You can almost breathe in God, resting in the awareness that all around you is life, invisible, but never divided from you, always functioning, always maintaining its perfect self. And you can identify as that life and know that within it, each heaven is functioning in perfect sequence with the one above it, that every level of consciousness is feeding the one below it. And when you receive an inner impartation, the 7th, 6th, 5th, and 4th heavens are moving through your consciousness in the will of the divine purpose. And the Lord is building your house. It will not fall. It has substance. It is being fed by the sea of glass, the unobstructed virgin consciousness of God. This is our 24-hour-a-day dispensation if we will accept it. To John, the living consciousness of God is now a reality. He is looking at the redeemed heavens being fed by that consciousness. He is showing you the anatomy of an impulse that comes to you from the higher levels. He is showing you that the computers of man are but toys. That infinite automation is functioning all around you and there is no power to stop it. It can be accepted as the finished kingdom here now. This becomes your consciousness of the now and takes you out of the passing time. Now are we taught by God. Now are we in the consciousness of God. Now are we the consciousness of God expressing. And nothing changes it regardless of what appears. These four beasts, these four creatures, are the mighty river of life, breaking into four fountainheads that feed the universe. One looks like the face of a man, one like the face of a calf, one like the face of a lion, one like an eagle. They're listed as lion, calf, face of a man, and eagle. Again, we're looking at the omnipotence, the receptivity to that omnipotence, the omniscience and the omnipresence. When you are receptive unto the qualities of God in you, you are the calf. And when you are receptive, you are also the lion, omnipotent. You are also the face of a man, omniscient. You are also the eagle, soaring above all, ever present everywhere. These are the four redeemed heavens, where each soul functions in the knowledge that the will of the Father is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, and that soul is receptive, like a calf, unto that expression of the divine will. You know, you wouldn't have to go any further than this to live consciously in the kingdom of God. But you would have to know that the only enemy you have is just as invisible as this complete, perfect kingdom which is all around us. And that enemy is without ceasing using your human mind as a way to tempt you into a false state of being, a false consciousness, a false identity, a false life. And unless you are consciously insisting within yourself that God is always omnipotent, always all-knowing, always present, unless to these qualities you are constantly receptive, that false mind of the world will ever be your tempter, ever turn you away from your true self. These are the four beasts, the four creatures whom John sees as entrusted with the task of shining his light throughout the universe. You have an opportunity here to accept the enlightened vision of one who is going through that which you will go through in your first resurrection. And they had eyes before and behind. Only in the will of the Father do we find the substance of life. The eyes before and behind, the all-knowing substance functioning in the will of the Father. The four beasts had each of them six wings about him. And they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. The six wings are the 6 degrees, again, to which each heaven is broken up, so that in each heaven we have these 6 degrees of activity coming closer and closer and closer to the throne. The six wings are the 6 stages of activity, which combined become the seventh, the completed stage of that heaven. And so, again, the divine sequence is being established. You cannot move something out of its proper place. The eye of you is being lifted perfectly according to divine plan. From the 6 wings comes the 7th of completion, which lifts you into the next heaven, and the beginning of another 6 wings, 6 stages of drawing closer to the fullness of the will. And only when you are doing this do you have eyes within. Life substance. Isn't it a straight and narrow road? That if we are not in this will, moving in this divine progression, unfolding this way, we are not in the will of the Father, we have no life substance. And that which we do is unrelated to life itself. What a perfect description of our lives up to the time when truth crossed the horizon of our knowledge. A perfect description of the civilization in which we live, unaware of the living will of God in our midst. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Unchanging. The same yesterday, today, and tomorrow is the spirit of your being. 5,000 years from now, you'll be no greater than you are this instant. For you are now the fullness of I. Holy, holy, holy. That is the condition which you might liken to the absolute, in which your total being is spiritually immersed. You are completely devoid of human will. And here, John sees those who are living in the absolute, free of every vestige of their former disobedience in the flesh. They are without sin. They have lost the capacity to live in concept. And therefore, everything they do and say is called holy, holy, holy. They live only in the divine will. For they have discovered that the Lord God Almighty was, is, and is to come. There's only God. God is the allness. Divinity is all there is. There never was a human being created by the Father. There is no human being on this earth. There is only divinity, hidden from the false consciousness called the human mind. As all of this becomes more real to us, we lose the feeling that I'd like to give up my humanhood, but I have nothing else to cling to. We become aware that there's nothing we need cling to as spiritual beings. We don't need a place to be a crutch for us. What we're giving up is the unreality we could never have in the first place. We're learning that the key to life is dying to that which has no existence. It is an acquisition. It's the dropping away of unreality, which is the dying. When Jesus had let all human concepts drop away, there stood Christ revealed. God who is, God who was, God who is, and God who is to come. The same as in Ecclesiastes. All that ever was, all that ever will be, is now. Nothing is changing except human concept. Infinite perfection is now. And living in that consciousness is saying, holy, holy, holy. Living in the awareness of omnipresent infinite perfection under the perfect government of the Spirit. You too are saying, holy, holy, holy. God who was, who is, and is to come. And when these beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne. When they cast their crowns before the throne, when they fall down before the throne, you see, that is the acceptance in you, the elders in you, the higher levels of you. That is the acceptance of the will of God as the only will of your being. When you throw your crown before that will, you are the master, willing to serve the will of the Father in you, saying, Lord, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You are seeing the one divine life. You are being integrated out of the diverse individual beings who walk the earth in separate forms, integrated into the realization of one infinite self. You're no longer a separate bee, you're now a beehive. You're no longer one person, you're the one self. And you're letting the will of that self live itself without conflict. And you can for a moment see this, that if there were not a conflict of wills in your life, you could never have a problem. It's the will of the infinite in you, which is perfection. It has the power to maintain that perfection. And if you are able to weed out the will that conflicts with the will of the infinite, you'll discover everything you do is in the infinite will. There'll be no conflict of wills. There'll be no violation of divine law, conscious or subconscious. You will be moving in the rhythm of the one will. I'd like very much to do the fifth chapter, but I'm afraid we'll be caught in the middle of it. And it's too important to split that way. So what we'll do is to review what John has given us here. He's preparing us for the book of life, reality, truth. He's going to take us up to that throne and show us that in the right hand of him who sits upon the throne is the book of life, and who is worthy to take it out of his hand. And he's talking to each of us. Can we walk up to the right hand of the Father and take the book of life out of his hand? What does that mean? We find that no human being on earth can do it. Not one. There's not one of us can do it. We can say we can. Not one of us can move into the perfect sea of glass and find reality, life eternal, immortality realized and lived in now. Only one can, the Lamb. Now that's a strange title, the Lamb. In the midst of those on the throne, here stands the Lamb alone of all those on the earth who can reach into the right hand of God to open the pages of the book of life. Now what are we being told there? You remember in the temple when Jesus drove out the money changers and drove out those with their flocks of so-called unblemished animals, the sacrificial animals that were given. Mankind, to an extent, has been making his sacrifices to God, all kinds of sacrifices. He's thought perhaps that a 10% tithe was about as good a sacrifice as you could make. We discover, though, that God doesn't want any lambs or tithes or sacrifices. God is complete. There's nothing you can give to God. Absolutely nothing. But the Lamb who takes the book of life out of the hand of God is the Christ. Which on earth is slain. The Christ which is slain on the earth, rejected by the human consciousness. This very Christ which is slain and rejected by the human consciousness is the Lamb that can reveal reality. And that slain Lamb is beheld again by John, standing in the midst of the throne. And that slain Lamb is the Christ of your being, rejected by you through your many reincarnations. That slain Lamb must be accepted by you as you, and becomes the resurrected Lamb. Christ resurrected, Christ realized in you, is the Lamb that alone takes the book of life out of the hand of God. In other words, you never enter reality except through the Lamb. And the sacrifice, instead of being a dove, or a tithe, or a few good deeds, or some philanthropy, the sacrifice is your total human selfhood. The sacrifice of your human selfhood is the acceptance of your divine selfhood. That becomes the resurrected Lamb, standing, reaching forth, taking reality, truth, identity from the Father. Maybe you didn't intend to give yourself up. But there are no half measures. The surrender of self totally continues in the form of initiation until the initiate goes through every possible dark night of the soul, willingly, hopefully, eagerly, in order to attain the high price, the high prize of Christ realized. There's nothing left of ourselves that we want. For we want the gold that has been tried in the fire. We become the Lamb that we sacrifice. And it becomes a labor of love. It's the most narrow pathway there is. And that's your dedication to the truth of your being instead of to the lie. Now John is carefully laying the groundwork for your Christhood realized. For in our human sense of things, we have been willing to pause along the way. We have been willing to dishonor the Father. We have been willing to set our own goals, and we have suffered for it. And now the way of the rainbow, the acceptance, the conscious awareness that this world mind, this imitation, this mass mesmerism that has made me walk the earth as flesh, as blood, is understood. And you know what is meant now by divine blood. For that throne which is the will of the Father is divine blood. And that divine blood, that living will is in you, with its power, with its all-knowing, with its grace, with its love. And through it you are lifted into the land of perfect love, perfect peace, perfect vision, perfect hearing, perfect you. the you you always have been and never could be less. So John is breaking these veils. Christ in John. Christ in you. We're going to walk into that place next week then, where we are ready to open the book of life. We had hoped this week to start breaking a seal or two, but apparently John has other ideas. We must be prepared by the release within ourselves from self-will. Now, how are you going to go about that from now till next week? How can you recognize self-will? It has so many disguises. It even comes as an impartation, you think, from the Father. Surely you think this is the Father's will I'm doing. How can you tell the difference? By their fruits you shall know them. The angels of the Lord, these blessed inner impartations, carry their signs with them. Do you doubt this is a dispensation of the Father? You can be sure it isn't then. There's never a doubt when it comes from the Father. You know. It has the ring of authority. And signs follow. Are you worried about failure? Don't worry. You cannot fail. Success has already been attained in the Spirit. Mine own shall hear my voice. Mine own shall come to me. We are now become one household in the Father. And it is our function, each of us, living in the integrity of our own soul, to be open and alive to the truth of all those around us. Don't make this a personal thing. Don't draw it down to the level of a me trying to be a spirit, or a me trying to get God to come into my being. Don't limit yourself to the dimensions of the form. You are every bit as present where someone else appears to be as you are where your own form seems to stand. There's no place where you are not. There's no place where I am not, and I is your name. Start lifting the veil everywhere. And as you widen your scope of receptivity, the impartations will be deeper, more frequent, more important to you, more light will shower through you to bless those around you. We are the children of the resurrection. We are being led gently into that consciousness which walks this earth aware of the kingdom of light. Who can turn to a child that hurts or a nation, or a religion, or a political group, and look at any one of them with the knowledge that these are forms concealing to human eyes the invisible, perfect Christ. And to that alone we are true. The perfect, invisible Christ in all. We don't have a club that says blacks are excluded. We don't have any restrictions other than the integrity to the truth of God in all. Constantly. And by all means, integrity to the truth of God where you stand. And you too will see your rainbow. You will find the floodgates of heaven open in your consciousness. In our truth to truth, our fidelity to truth, truth functions in us. John is here, just another forerunner of your new consciousness as the new man who walks the earth. There are so many beautiful things ahead for us that are all true right now. And that will be our final meditation. Let us live in the finished kingdom of God on earth in consciousness. It will not be better tomorrow because now is perfect. Catch that in yourself, please. Now is perfect. As you walk this very narrow, narrow path, you'll discover it opens into infinity on earth as it is in heaven. It was a great joy to be with you today. Much is happening, I'm quite sure, in all of us. It will be very interesting to behold the changes that take place in our outer lives because of this inner transformation we're all going through. Thanks for being here. Thank you.